Glad we could all be here this evening. Thank the Lord for His blessings of health and strength. Yesterday, I was in a lot of different, unusual positions for me. And Brother Paul and I was working on a project down there at Monarch, and I can tell my knee's a little sore today. Then it stand up and it feels like it's not quite as strong as it was. So I was thinking today, and as we were busy this afternoon with other things besides church work and all, and thinking of just, you know, how sometimes you get to thinking on something specific and that leads you to maybe thinking about more general things. It's one thing about our minds, we can put our bodies in a position where we ought to be able to receive something, and then our mind can go astray on us. You know, our head, our thinking goes way out there in the bushes somewhere sometimes, and we have to kind of reel it back in. I used to tell, I don't want to get too far off track here, but I used to tell my children, I think I probably said it to all of them, that they were the king of imagination. Imagination is the biggest nation there ever was. And we're all susceptible to becoming a monarch as a ruler if the nation of imagination. You know, we're just, our minds get to whirling and we get to thinking, and you know that phrase, what if, and then just suppose, and I mean, we can just go, sometimes it's little steps and sometimes it's like leapfrogging, and we get out there so far that we wonder, how did we get out here? You know, really, we've let our imagination just get too carried away. And I think imagination probably has some of its most effective times with us, all of us, in things that bring despondency, sucks the courage and the life out of us. And we, you know, we, one little thing can go wrong. I can cross-thread a bolt at work, and you know, it just goes from one cross-threaded bolt to losing your job. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You can go from one broken taillight to a total car in just a short amount of time. You know, one little spill, one little accident in the house, and then it just, you know, the house has fell down on you. It just, that's what imagination will do to us if we're not careful. So these are thoughts that came to my mind. I'd like for us to look at a few songs. We have a song number 172. The title of the song is Be an Overcomer. So obviously, if we're going to be an overcomer, we have to stop imagination when it's going down the wrong path. Now, I think that there's times that imagination can be a profitable thing. There's a lot of inventions. There's a lot of innovative plans and techniques and procedures and all of that that's happened because somebody had a little bit of imagination and was willing to act on it. But most of the time, the biggest nation we run into with imagination is it's taken me down the wrong path. But notice the words of verse 3 in this song. It says, be an overcomer, you are heaven's heir. Now that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? And a mighty, and a crown of life you may ever wear. So with courage, press the battle to the gates, till you gain the prize which in heaven waits. So courage is the opposite of discouragement, right? It says, so with courage, press the battle to the gates. It sounds like that there's going to be a fight all the way to the end, all the way to the finish line. And I'm sure that all of us here have experienced something that was a fight all the way. And I hope Brother Paul doesn't mind too much. We felt like our job yesterday, I was kind of teasing when we started on it, and his dad told me, well, if you don't mind taking this job on, you know, so I got there and got to looking at what we was doing, and I said, man, we'll probably be here all day. I was kind of teasing, but we was there all day. In fact, we were there probably later than most to finish up. And, you know, it seemed like, well, one piece was broke and we had to, well, we found one. Well, thank the Lord. We found a piece that we had in the storeroom and we was putting it on and we broke it. Well, we had another brother that was there. He was willing to go to Lowe's, so we tried to work on other things while he was going to Lowe's to get our part. And it's just everything we went to, we put a ground wire up the side of the pole, and it was about 5 feet too short. I don't know where it was hooked up on the other pole, but it was hooked up in the last one. But we went to hook it up, it was too short. Well, we did have some ground wire that we was able to use, and that turned out good. But it's just things like that. An old saying that my mother used to say is somebody would say to them, cheer up, things could be worse. And the response was, I cheered up, and sure enough, they did get worse. You know, there are times that life is just a battle all the way to the end. It's like I felt the pressure. I mean, it wasn't terrible. It's not something either one of us do every day, but still yet it's just like there's things that become tedious, and everything we do, we had to just search it a little bit and work with it, but we got there. So he says here, with courage, brother, somebody else that's endeavoring to be successful, press the battle to the gates. Don't allow your imaginations to get out of the gate, so to speak. Keep them confined. You know, realize when imaginations are starting to take over and emphasize your problems. You know, your problems can go from bad to worse really quick. We know that. Now notice another song we have, number 213. And I'd like to notice three verses here. The title of this song is Ever Keep Heaven in View. And you know, if we can keep in view what our end destination is, it helps us to keep our courage up. Notice verse 1 beginning. Pilgrim of Jesus, or life's trouble see. Courage, there's that word again. Courage and onward pursue. A crown of rejoicing is waiting for thee. Ever keep heaven in view. So if we want to keep heaven in view, we have to apply courage, and we have to continue our pursuit. Onward pursue, it says. The other one said, we're going to, with courage, press the battle to the gates. And here it says, with courage, we're going to do what? Onward pursue a crown of rejoicing. Remember what we're working towards. Instead of just thinking about putting one foot in front of another, remember what we're working towards. And it says, with courage, onward pursue. The second verse says, Pilgrim of Jesus, what saddens thy brow? And I would say if we stopped right near and we went around the room and asked everybody, is there anything that's brought any sadness in your life in the last 24 hours, last 7 days, the last 30 days? I don't think we'd have to go, we wouldn't have to go to 30 days. We could find something probably in the last 24 hours. It's like, oh, maybe the last 7 days for sure. But we don't have to get farther than that. And there's something that has brought some sadness. It says, Pilgrim of Jesus, still addressing somebody that intends to go to heaven, what saddens thy brow? Are not his promises true? Didn't he promise to not leave us or forsake us? Didn't he promise to go with us? Didn't he promise to be, we sang another song tonight, there is not a friend like Jesus. He promised to be my friend. It says, how needless thy sorrow, he's bidding thee now. Here's the bidding. Here's the beckoning. Here is the invitation. The invitation is ever keep heaven in view. Because if we can keep that in view, then those things that bring sadness, whatever that loss might be, if we can keep heaven in view, it says, how needless thy sorrow. He's bidding you now. He's telling you, he's asking you, keep your end destination in sight. It says, Pilgrim, verse 3, Pilgrim of Jesus, O lift up thy head, ask in thy strength, he'll renew. So when you feel that you're about burnout, you ever heard that expression? Burnout. People get burned out of jobs. They get burned out of neighborhoods. They get burned out of, in our world today, they get burned out in their relationships. And they abandon them. But the Lord has got a remedy for all of that. You guess what it is? Ever keep heaven in view. Ever keep heaven in view. It says, O Pilgrim of Jesus, O lift up thy head, ask and your strength he'll renew. And while in the footprints of Jesus you tread, you reckon Jesus ever had any discouraging things that happened to him? You remember when most all of his followers that had been following him turned and didn't follow him anymore? You remember what he said to his disciples? Will ye go also? You think he was feeling on top of the mountain right then? I don't think so. I think he was feeling some sadness. When somebody leaves our little group here and says, I won't come back for whatever reason, you know, that hurts. It makes us feel sad. Just like Jesus, when he said some things and it's nothing he could take back. And the people said, I can't do this. And they left following him. And he turned to his disciples and said, will you go also? And somebody, one of his disciples that stayed said, you remember what they said? Where would we go? What was so unique about that? He had heaven in view, didn't he? He had his perspective lined up where he knew, that's what I want. That's where I want to go. Let's turn to another song in our book, number 487. It says here in verse 2, should my courage sometimes falter? And now I've got to think about it like an engine. So y'all just think, bear with me. Your courage faltering. You know, that's some of my job is to fix those those falters. Somebody comes in and says, my car sputters or it coughs. Or, well, a car can't really cough, but it kind of gives you that sensation. There's this loss of momentum and maybe a jerk, and then it kind of goes again, and then it jerks again, and you feel like you're just kind of lunging along. Well, nobody, who would want to drive a car like that? And we can say we're in a place where our courage sometimes falters. We could come maybe to hear, and maybe someone could say some good words, and we could feel encouraged and enthused, and we start down the rest of our week, and all of a sudden we have one of those things where things didn't turn out right. One of those days where we're disappointed. We're, like the other song was talking about, it says here, should my courage sometimes falter, still by faith his power I see. That's still sounding like I'm keeping heaven in view, doesn't it? In my heart, his words I'm hiding when my Savior talks with me. So when our courage is faltering, it's time to talk to the Savior. Lord, you know my downsittings. You know my uprisings. You know what's causing my courage. You can say this to the Lord. You can say, Lord, my courage is faltering. I don't really know what the next step ought to be. And I feel so incapable in myself. Just when I thought I had things going my way, sure enough, I didn't. It's kind of like the saying of cheering up and things could be worse. And sure enough, that's what happened. That can happen to us, all of us. I'd like to turn now to Numbers, the 13th chapter, way over here in the Old Testament, third book of the Bible, third book of Moses, if you're in, think of it that way. Actually, it's the fourth book. Numbers, the 13th chapter, I'd like to begin reading verse 17, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan. So they're coming up close, and Moses and the people had decided to send spies into the land of Canaan. And they were all in agreement of that. And Moses sent them out to spy the land of Canaan, verse 17, and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go into the mountain and see the land that it what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that dwell in, and whether in tents or in strongholds. And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. I'm thinking about this phrase, and I'd underlined it at some point in my life, and be ye of good courage. Have you ever went to a new place, started a new job, maybe endeavored to start a new friendship with someone? It can be a little frightening sometimes. At least I'm talking about from a introvert's perspective. It can be a little frightening to start a new friendship. It can be a little frightening to go to a new place where you're not familiar with. And then when you go, maybe you feel pressured to do this, or maybe you feel that it's for the good of your family, or your maybe it's for the good of the church. So I'll tell you a little something about myself. I felt kind of like I was going to spy out some land when I moved over here a little over 20 years ago. And one weekend we changed houses, we knew the people here at the congregation, but we changed houses, we changed neighbors, and we changed our place of work. I don't know, it was a big change. And I felt kind of like these people that were told to go spy out the land. I had my reasons. I knew why I felt like I should do this, but then when it come right down to going, they already chose the spies. They had already made the selections and determined this is what they wanted to do. And I don't know if the spies had a choice in it or not, but there was 12 men, one out of each tribe that was chosen. And when it came right down to it, and Moses was telling them, this is how I want you to inspect the land. You be able to tell us whether there be a lot of people or just a few. You tell us whether they live in the cities or in tents. You tell us whether there's a lot of wood there so we can build things with, or tell us and bring us, by the way, bring us some of the fruit. Bring us some of the produce out of that land. And so you get this big long list, but before he stopped, he said, be of good courage and bring of the fruit of the land. Lord, help us to be of good courage. Because sometimes the task, the road, the thing that's ahead of us can look overwhelming. It depends on what your personality is and how much you enjoy surprises around every corner or not. Some of us do and some of us don't. That's just a fact. Some of us would like to know what's on the other side before we go to the other side. We want to know what's behind the door before we open the door. We want to know how something will turn out before we start it. And I don't know, that's many times how I look at things. I want to know, I want to have a good grasp on where I'm headed. And other people are ready to jump and then figure out how to fly later. That's not my style. But he says here, be of good courage. So with the songs I've read here tonight, the words I've read are the songs, and one minister used to say to us when Anita and I was young, he'd come to Monarch. One of the things he did was lead a lot of the songs. And he would say at different times, there's a message in every song. And I believe that. There's a real message in the songs that we sing. I'd like to turn now to Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter, and notice some other things. Moses here was speaking to the children of Israel, and he was also speaking to Joshua. Moses was the leader up until the time Joshua took charge. And Joshua, what was unique about Joshua? He was one of those 12 men that went over to spy out the land. He was one of those that had the courage to come back and say, we're well able to take the land. Not because he felt that there would be no opposition, but because he believed and had confidence in God. He saw the giants that were over there. He saw the obstacles just like the other 10 did, But there was two men that come back, Joshua and Caleb, that said, we're well able, let's go. And there was 10 that said, no, we look like grasshoppers in the sight of those men. We better not go. And the people accepted the testimony of the 10 and they pulled back. But Joshua was someone that knew what it meant to be of good courage. So remember that as we read this. Let's read verses 6 and 7. Moses was talking to the people about how that they hadn't got in the promised land yet because of all that unbelief. They'd been wandering around for 40 years in the wilderness. And he says this to the people, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. And he will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Remember that for your family. Be of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of the what ifs. The imagination that sometimes gets out of control. Ask God to help you rein it in. Get it under control. Get it back inside the fence. In fact, when my dad was a young boy at home, he lived on a dairy and they had something they called a bullpen. That was a small pen they kept the bull in, especially in the barn. And they didn't just let him run free, but they kept him in a place where he could be controlled. Keep your imaginations in control. Keep your fears in control. Something makes you feel fearful, tell the Lord about it. That's how you keep your courage up. Then notice verse 7, he's talking to Joshua. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him, now this is a man that knew what it was like to be of good courage. He said unto him in the sight of all Israel, in front of everybody, be strong and of good courage. For thou must go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. Moses had that kind of confidence in Joshua. And I've got this kind of confidence in the Lord's ability to help us through life. You meet some things that's disappointing. Maybe you've met one today. Maybe you met one yesterday. I'm sure you did in the last week. Take it to the Lord. Lord, I need some courage. I need my courage battery recharged, or maybe you need to swap it out for a new one. And maybe you need a new courage battery. Be of good courage. You will be able to possess the land. You will be able to do it. You will be victorious. Ever keep heaven in view. Don't allow on your pilgrimage, your pilgrim of Jesus, I trust you are, I believe you are, being here tonight. You're a pilgrim of Jesus, and you find yourself out in life's troubled sea, because many times life's sea seems troubled. It seems like there's billows, there's things happening that you can't control, and they're out of your hands. And when you find yourself in that place, be of good courage. Fear not. The Lord will not forsake you. He'll go with you. So I trust your courage. If it needed a little boost, I trust the Lord will be able to boost your courage tonight. Help you face what life is bringing right now. Ask Him to help you know how to put your fears back in the box. Your imaginations that wants to get out of control, get them back in control with God's help. You pray for me. I want my courage to be strong. I want to be able to face what life brings and do it with the courage that I know God has. You pray for me.